besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag, because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I am an amorphous blob floating in from the sky, juice box.
And I will compensate with too much energy, Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens, and we are continuing our interview series this week, but before we get to that, how are you?
I'm good. We kind of shifted our day at one point. We were going to do other things, so it freed up, and I got to sleep in. I gave myself the gift of a sleep in. I was texting you at like 6:30 a.m. as like a zombie, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna hit the snooze a couple times. And I did. I slept like 9.5 hours. It was juicy.
Oh, that's so good.
I know, which is so bad to talk to you because you're the antithesis of that. You are literally so tired right now.
I'm very tired. I've had two very long days.
I had an
unfortunate death in the family.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. She was very old, so it's cool. But it's just like a lot. It's a lot of family. It's a lot of visiting. It's a lot of small talk.
Yes.
And like, can I tell you a fun story?
Please. I want to hear a fun story. I'm so happy you have one within all that heaviness.
So I'm at the wake.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there being a wonderful, supportive husband. I'm thriving. I've visited. I've chit-chatted.
I've done my due diligence.
Great at small talk. I could talk to a brick wall.
True.
Done. Someone comes up to me. And if you're listening right now, I'm so sorry, but I have to talk about this. Hi, really big fan. I was like, here?
Oh no, spotted here? At the funeral.
And now this is the time?
Oh shoot.
Yeah, so I had to like kind of put it on. Oh, well, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate it. But I was still very somber and respectful because there's a fucking dead body right there. So I was just like, they didn't ask for a picture, thank God.
I was just going to ask you, did they ask for a photo?
No, it was a very respectful conversation. They were very sweet. I was being very sweet, but I was also like, I wasn't really putting it on as much as I normally would.
Of course.
Because I was like, you know, one, I'm fucking tired. One, I'm fucking tired. Two, we're at a funeral. And so I can't be like, I can't bring Juice in. Juice is not invited to the funeral.
No.
You know, she's on vacation for 2 days, you know?
Exactly.
So I was just like, oh, thanks.
Ew. So weird. Akko Taco.
Super awkward. Yeah.
Our lives.
And then a family member came up and they were like, just so you know, there's another person who really wants to meet you tomorrow. And I literally looked at them like, okay.
I wish
like,
they could
I didn't realize chill. I would have this boundary, but like, hey guys, if we're ever at a funeral together, maybe don't come up to me and be like, big fan.
Big fan.
See your mourning right now.
Yeah.
But I just really want to like, big fan.
I hope you
big
live fan. Forever. I hope I never go to your funeral.
I hope that your legacy lives on.
Way more than this bitch.
No, I'm just kidding. Way more than them.
It turns into a roast of the person.
I know. I'm sitting there like, what is going on? So yeah, but they were very nice. But again, it was one of those things where I was like, I didn't think this would ever happen.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
That's Akko Taco with guacamole on top. Very super strange. I'm so sorry that happened. Did that pull you out of the event? Did it like take you away?
No, it didn't take me away, but it made me kind of feel like it was just kind of one of those things where I just had to like process it and just be like, really here?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing?
You know? Uh-huh.
But they ended up, it was only the only thing they said to me was really big fan, you know, see you on TV all the time. That was all they said. But I think it was because I also didn't really engage to continue the conversation.
They knew.
You know?
Hmm? They knew. They were like, they knew. I'm not gonna do more.
But yeah, so Cynthia had Girl Boss Too Close to the Sun. She took on the interview today. Very, very thankful for her for doing that. Thank you. Give it up. Snaps for Cynthia.
Oh my God, everyone stop. Everyone sit down. Seriously, all of you, all the way in the back. Stop.
Oh my God.
Stop.
Stop.
Yeah, no, I literally was living my Much Music VJ fantasy. It's so cool. I'm such a fan of Ralph. Are you a fan of Ralph? I didn't get to pick your brain at all about her.
So here's my relationship with Ralph. Ralph was on season one.
Yeah.
I was on season one for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we've never met. We've interacted minimally.
Okay.
We know each other's work and we know each other's art, but yet we've never really like chatted. I was actually really excited for the interview because I was like, oh, this is my moment to like get to pick Ralph's brain, to get
of
to
course.
Like connect. And then I had to go to a funeral. So it was another, you know, fart in the wind for me with Ralph. So
then you got to listen to this episode, Girly Pop, because I dive in. I'm such a fan that we just talk about artistic process. We talk about her love of drag queens. Also, her very first queen was Tynomi Banks. There's like a
of course.
Through line.
I mean, it was all of ours.
It's the beginnings of many queens' careers. I am so excited, SQ Cuties. I hope you love this interview. And should we just dive right in?
Oh my God. Do you have her number? Give her a call.
I do, on speed dial.
Beep, boop, beep,
please
beep,
welcome boop. To the show a pop star, a fashionista, a vocalist with over 140,000 monthly listeners on Spotify and over 3.7 million views on YouTube. Please welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens, the iconic Ralph.
Hi. Wow, I love an intro.
Honestly, right? No, I was creeping you yesterday and I was like, these numbers, like, people are obsessed with you.
I mean, it's nice to, I saw someone post yesterday, like a music friend. They were like, I don't normally post about numbers because I feel like that's like personal and it shouldn't be something that we are all obsessed with. But here's like an amazing stat of mine that I do want to share because I'm proud. So it's funny because I think when you're an artist, like you can get so obsessive about numbers and really be hard on yourself. But then at the same time, it's kind of nice to hear them like regurgitated at you.
Of course.
Like, oh, okay. Well, that's not terrible, you know?
And monthly, like 140,000 listeners monthly. Like, and I am one of those listeners. That is so cool.
Well,
does that blow your mind? You just walk around, you think, I wonder if they're listening to me right now. Like,
oh,
if someone's commuting.
I do not think that. No, never.
Oh my goodness.
Actually, it's funny because I feel like I never think that. I think the only people who I could assume are listening to me at all times are like my parents and my friends. But my best friend, literally, I'm in LA right now and she lives here and I haven't seen her for a couple months. And I was hanging out with her the other day and she's like, whatever happened to that song that we have a mutual friend here who I met through her, who's an amazing producer, and I had written with him. And she was like, whatever happened to that song that you wrote with Brecker? And I was like, I put it out. It's one of my singles. And she was like, oh my God, wait, which song? And I was like, Pain Relief, dude. Like, are you kidding me? Anyway, so it just goes to show that
awkward.
You never know who's listening and who's not.
Oh my goodness. That's so true. Even on a micro level, when you have friends who clearly haven't watched your Instagram stories and it's so like it's integral to your day. It's like, well, did you not see I like had the best latte ever? I put it on my story. Like clearly you are not creeping your besties. So
that's me.
Listeners
I don't
out there.
I don't watch Instagram stories. I'm so bad. I think, okay, here's the reason. And I literally just heard this on a podcast yesterday and I was like, wow, that resonates. It's because my phone to me is work. I am always on my phone also, like, come on, nails. I'm always on my phone, like emailing, responding, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like I love posts. Like I do love like doing Instagram posts and TikTok. Like I love the aesthetic world and like the sharing world of that. But to me, my phone kind of feels like work. So
totally.
I'm terrible at texting. Like do not have me in a group chat. I will be deeply disappointing if I'm in a group chat.
Yes.
Like I'm just I actually have all my group chats on mute. Like I never
Oh,
part
good
of
to
them.
Know. Good to
yeah,
know.
Just so you know. And when it comes to watching stories, like I'm not actually on Instagram. I don't spend much time like scrolling or watching stories because I feel like I like to be off my phone when I can. So I always have friends who are like, did you not see my story, dude? And I'm like, I didn't. And that cannot be how our friendship is defined. Sorry.
Exactly. But I appreciate consistency. So if you're going to consistently never watch, then I just know that about Ralph.
Exactly. Yes. It's like, if it's not like I was like always watching and then suddenly fell off. That would be reason to be concerned.
Yes.
It's like, I'm consistently never in the group chat talking about the Kardashians. Also.
Perfect. So, yeah. Oh my goodness. You don't have to keep up.
You can't everything, you know?
Truly. For anyone who has not seen you live, for starters, they are silly and don't love themselves because Ralph,
honestly,
you literally have such a beautiful singing voice.
Thank
I
you.
Have to know, did you sing as a child? Where did this all begin? You finding your instrument?
It's funny. I have asked my parents, like, you know, as a kid, did I sing a lot? Because I always wanted to be an actor. And as a kid, I like if you watch the family videos and look at all these childhood photos of me, like I'm always in dress up. Like I was always in the dress up closet and I would put on like a crazy outfit. And then I'd be like, okay, so you're Sally and I'm Vanessa and we're orphans. And, you know, I'd always be like creating these like narratives, but I don't really remember like music being a huge part, at least in the sense of like me singing. I don't really remember that being a, like a passion of mine. One of my uncles, I guess, picked me up from school for a while when I was like four. And he told me that I was always like walking ahead of him in my own little world. And I was just like making up songs and singing. He's like, oh, you were always singing. So I guess it lived within me. And then when I was in grade 8, I went to a really small alternative school for grade 7 and 8.
Oh, cool. 60
students. Yeah. And they do a musical every other year. And it's a musical that's written by one of the moms. It's called Shine. And it's about a fairy god person, gender neutral. And she helps this like loser pet store owner like find his shine. And like, anyways, I auditioned to be a background. Okay. I was just flirting and like chilling, and I wanted to just like not have any
not main character energy. You were just chilling.
I want to be a tree in the background. I want to be like a pet store sweeper. And then they put up the cast list. Who's the main character? Me. And I was like, whoa, sorry, no, I do not sing publicly. Like, I do not sing publicly. Terrified.
Oh my God.
They were like, they pulled me aside and they were like, so you do have to do it. There's literally no one else who can carry a tune. So you're getting cast. And I was suddenly thrust on stage in fairy wings. And I remember, and we were like performing in front of like elementary schools. So like there were people watching. It wasn't just for parents. And I remember being absolutely terrified. But
of course,
there was kind of a part of me that was like, am I good at this? Like, people keep telling me that I'm good at this. So like, I think the confidence started to build.
Yeah.
And then I went to a performing arts high school for music theater.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so, cool.
The first 2 years of high school, because when you go to like a performing arts high school, you're basically like the best of your class from grade 8. And then all of a sudden you go to a school where you're surrounded by everyone who was the best of their class. And now you're all
LA.
Together.
It's the LA of education.
Exactly. You walk in and you're like, I was in Shine the musical. And someone's like, I was on Broadway when I was 8, and you're like, oh, okay. Oh. And I remember just like the first week we had to do these things called party pieces where everyone has to perform the song that they auditioned with. And you stand up in front of the class and the teachers and you sing your song. And my last name is Wayman. So I was like last in the list, and I was watching all the A's and the B's and the C's. And I was like, oh my God, the caliber of talent here is insane. And I was terrified to perform for the first 2 years. I was like, it is like LA. It's like all of a sudden you're like, what am I doing here? Oh my God. But I discovered jazz in grade 11, and I was like, because music theater wasn't really my thing. It was a bit too kind of like
playing too big.
yeah, which is funny because I love camp. But in grade 11, my one of my vocal teachers was like, why don't you join the jazz choir? And then I did, and I was like, oh, okay, this is it.
There
she was
it
like,
is.
Okay, yeah, so that's more. It just felt more authentically like honest to me. Like when I did a performance of My Funny Valentine with like the whole jazz choir behind me and like the pit orchestra. And I remember being like, I feel this song in my body.
Yeah.
Whereas like I found sometimes with like the overly cheerful music theater stuff, I was kind of like, dun, 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 you know?
Yes. I have the same relationship with musical theater. I think sometimes it almost becomes, I think some people, it's a specific art to make it feel genuine and be so perfect and polished. There's an art to it. So I love that you found your lane. And wouldn't you say the power of like competition, like going to that school and looking around and being like, okay, I'm a little intimidated right now, but it's also inspiring me to work on my craft. Like maybe I didn't peak with Shine. I want to keep going. I want to keep growing. I think sometimes competition can get a bad rap, where I think it can actually be a really good thing for the soul.
For sure.
Like there's only so many things that are a little carrot in life, you know, like surviving on this planet, like earning an income. And then also, you know, just kind of keeping up with your with your colleagues, the people in, yeah. in your communities. So that's, it's cool for how sure. that can start at such a young age. I went to an arts high school as well. And I know that feeling. It's like, oh, okay. I can kind of look to my left, look to my right, and we can all keep kind of pushing forward. I even think that in the drag community now, like you go to drag con and you're like, oh, okay. So we're just going to stone things a little bit more next time.
Which means that it was, you know, such a amazing experience for you to have that young, because it kind of taught you how to use that as fuel and not to let it break you. That's the thing, is I think that like when you're in those situations, either you realize, you know what, I don't actually really want to be here, or you let it fuel you and you're like, I can get better and I want to get better and I actually want to get the roles, and if I'm not the best yet, then like I would like to try to be the best, you know. But I think that that's maybe a certain type of person too. So like, you know, I don't know about you, but I think I'm a naturally pretty competitive person, mostly with myself. Like I'm not like a team sports person, but I'm very competitive with myself. And I think when I was at ESA, I was like, I'm not the best at all, but I do want to get the roles now. So by grade 11, I had kind of finally got the, I learned how to like warm up, and I learned like breathing exercises to give me the confidence to help with my nerves. And all of a sudden I was like, I want to be in Rent, you know? And
yes. Oh my God. It's happening. You're living it. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of drag queens, you are no stranger to the drag community. You love drag queens. We love you. You literally were on the first season of Canada's Drag Race. I have to know, Ralph, tell me about your first meetings of a drag queen, and was it love at first sight?
I've never actually thought like who was the first drag queen I ever met.
They've been so integral in your life.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, like, you know, before there was like Drag Race.
Yeah.
I've known Tainomi for a really long time.
Oh my goodness. This is so funny that you mentioned Tainomi. Really? Both Juicebox and I, our origin stories with drag queens go back to Tainomi Banks.
That is so funny. I feel like Tainomi has been a staple within the drag community for a really long time.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in like a...
She is an so age range, old.
But, yeah, exactly. Like, she's going to kill me.
No, she hasn't aged a day. She looks incredible. No.
Yeah. Her energy is like unparalleled. I'm like, I need to know the secrets. But we worked together at American Apparel. Or maybe it was that I worked with Tainomi's friend Cedric. And I met Tainomi through Cedric. But either way, I was like, it was many years ago.
The American Apparel days.
I know. Literally like all of my favorite people I met through American Apparel. So if I can say one thing about that horrendous company, it's that they did hire good people.
Yeah.
Who are now all slightly traumatized. But I think that maybe Tainomi like was one of the first queens that I saw doing their thing. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. And then just continued to kind of, I think, you know, within the world of like performance and fashion, and like pop culture in the pop world, I just continued to meet more queens. And then obviously Drag Race was such an amazing opportunity to become connected to queens from that season, from futures, like just wild. And even like Kimchi, there's a funny story with Kimchi, because someone messaged me being like, oh my God, did you know that Kimchi, when they were doing the like world tour of like, there was a bunch of drag queens from Drag Race who were doing like a world tour, and they were all performing. It was called, what was it called? Like
a Work the World, or
yes,
like
exactly. It was Work the World.
Cool.
And they were like, sorry, my computer is going to die. So now we're doing a little change of scenery. Someone was like, oh my God, Kimchi is performing to Gravity, your song. And I was like, excuse me? What? And then someone sent me a video being like, yeah, I just went to see the tour in Las Vegas, and they're like dancing with like all of these gorgeous dancers, like full performance to Gravity. And I was like, so I messaged Kimchi, and I was like, we never talked, we'd never met. And I messaged them, and I was like, hi, oh my God, huge fan, which is true. Kimchi was one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I hear you're dancing to my song. And she was like, oh my God, I am. I'm obsessed. And I was like, can you tag me in one of your, you know, like, I was like, that, like, that's amazing. I would love for people to know that it's my song. Cause like, what a huge compliment. Mm-hmm. And, she did. And then we kind of kept in touch, and she actually even sent me, when I was promoting, I think my song Tommy a little while ago, I asked Kimchi if she would make a little video, and Kimchi like sent me a little video being like, hey, it's Kimchi and I'm listening to Tommy by Ralph. So anyways, random stuff like that where like I think I somehow had kind of made like a tiny, tiny little impact within the world of like drag performers and I think within Drag Race world. So very cool.
I think it's really beautiful to see, you know, even when you were on tour last year, like bringing queens on stage with you,
it was so fun.
Opening, like it's, I've seen on your stories, you're always looking for queens in each city. Like it's such a priority for you, which I think is honestly so incredible because not every single performer is doing this. I think there's a huge intersection between pop music and the drag community.
Oh my God, yeah.
But some people don't see it that way. Like, so for you to kind of want to extend the stage and have us come on, because I got up there with Bobo. It was so fun. It's just, to me, I remember thinking how absolutely cool that was, that like, you're just so into drag that it's like, yeah, come on stage. Let's share these moments.
I have so much respect for drag performers because, I mean, I think I understand to a certain degree. I probably don't even know the capacity, you know, of the work and the money that goes into it. But
No, you do. Definitely
Maybe I do.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to say that, like, I get it, you know, because I'm sure that there are aspects to it that I'll never quite know. But I really can kind of, like, understand and like, really respect the amount of work and energy, consistent, constant energy. Like, I have so many, like, drag performer friends in Toronto who, like, especially during, like, Pride or like, oh bitch, I'm wheeling my bag around Toronto for like four shows a day, always on. And like, I get that. And I don't do that many shows in a day, but I know that feeling of being on. Totally. And it's exhausting. So, and even like the amount, like also when I, Luna Dubois, a drag queen from Toronto, did drag makeup on me for Pride 2 years ago.
Oh, amazing.
And I was like, oh my God, like the amount of time and expertise it takes to do this. Like it just, I think it's so, a bummer is like not the right word because it's not big enough, but I think it's so devastating that not enough people give credit to the drag community and like the respect that is deserved. And so I think that I've always felt this way about being a performer, like, and not everyone does, and that's fine, that's your prerogative, but I think if I have a platform and I have people who are watching my stories and my posts, like it is kind of a responsibility of mine to make sure that there are things that I'm incorporating into my craft and advocating for that are important. And right now, like, the drag community is suffering. I had a lot of friends tell me during Pride that they were not, you know, getting hired for gigs, or if they were, like, the money, like, from corporate gigs, like, the money was bad because people are scared now, especially in corporate. Yes. They're scared to be associated with something that is potentially taboo.
Yes.
And it's like, that's insane. So, okay. It's so wild. Like, let's say, like, you know, Shoppers Drug Mart is doing, and not to throw them under the bus, I'm just throwing out a big corporation, but like, they're doing a Pride event, but they're not going to hire like a queen. Like, sorry.
Hello?
You can't like fly the flag and post about the flag if you're not going to actually do the work. So for me, it's really important to make sure that like I'm constantly not just saying it, but like doing it and being like, yes, I'm writing with queens. Yes, I'm performing with queens. Yes, I'm hiring queens to, you know, like my friend Aurora Matrix is opening for me in Toronto.
Slay.
And like that, like I was really pushing for an opener for the Toronto show that like made sense. In that capacity, like I was like, I want it to be someone who's queer. I want it to be someone who's like fashion forward and fun. Like I want the audience to really resonate with my opener.
Yes.
And then I was texting with Priyanka and she was like, what if it was a drag performer? And then at the same time, we literally both wrote Aurora Matrix. Because Aurora is like, she was such a sweetie and she's a friend. So I messaged her and I was like, I think I voice noted her. And I was like, hi. Crazy idea. Would you want to open for me my Toronto show? And she was like, yes. So anyways, really cool, I think, to also incorporate drag performers into like musical capacities where like there are people in the audience who maybe wouldn't necessarily like go to a drag show or, you know, just I think like opening up the audience and kind of helping people understand that drag is just as much an art as music.
Oh, totally.
Is.
give them a little appetizer.
Exactly.
And they'll want the whole meal.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Priyanka, you are featured on her new single, Bad Bitches Don't Cry.
Yes.
This is iconic. It is a power anthem. It is in my head all the time. Had you ever done a collaborative duet, like being featured on a song before? Or was this a new venture for you, Ralph?
No, I've done a couple of collabs with different people. Like if you scroll through my Spotify history, I've done a couple of collabs. And also I've like written songs with other artists that just like haven't come out, you know?
Totally.
I love the idea of collaboration. I'm always down to collab. But even with Pri, like we wrote that song for her. Like we wrote it.
Oh,
I was
okay,
not
cool.
planning on being on that track.
Okay,
and
interesting.
Then she messaged me after we wrote it and she was like, would you want to actually be on that song? And I was like, oh my God, I thought you'd never
ask. Oh, no way.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be.
Because that was kind of my question. If that's how you build a song with a feature, like, okay, I'm going to come in verse two.
No.
Or is it, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So that
like,
was after the fact.
I did not, like, I was just so happy to be writing with Pri because we'd been having a go back and forth for like literally 2 years.
Oh my God, hilarious.
And just for so long. And then, we wrote that song and we wrote it for Pri. Like it was an idea that I'd had. The idea of Bad Bitches Don't Cry was a line from Selling Sunset that I had written down. And I
what
was
an
like,
amazing.
I love this. And so when I was in the session with Pri, I was like throwing some ideas her way. And I was like, because Pri's very like, she's so like laser focused and knows exactly what she likes. So
yes.
I was like, okay, here are some ideas that I have. And if we hate all of them, then tell me what you got or like, let's just start fresh. And so I said, Bad Bitches Don't Cry. And she was like, I like that. And then we wrote it for her. And then, yeah, she messaged me like a couple months later and she was like, I'm kind of loving the idea of you singing on this. Would you want to write a verse for yourself? And literally like I was walking to a yoga class and I just was kind of like in the pocket and I like sent her a voice note and I was like, what about this? And then I was kind of like singing out ideas and she was like, yeah, can we record it like tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
That is hysterical. I love that. See, when it works, it works. It's just,
we
if
work
it flows
really well together.
Oh, it shows. Can you breadcrumb us any tea? Will there be more Priyanka featuring Ralph music?
I don't know about a Pri featuring Ralph, but we do like working together.
More music babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Pri's very like very loyal, and when she likes working with people who get her, and we are so similar in the way that we work. We are both like really independent and very driven, and we're like so sort of like the people like in control of our craft that I think we really align. So we really like working together. And I mean, there's a lot of people who have written for Pri, and I've heard all of the potential album songs, and they're like, I keep saying this to her. I'm like, these aren't like good for a drag performer turned pop star. These are good for us. Like these are good for a pop star. Like these are good songs, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think maybe you and I had even talked about this, that like when I was writing for Tainomi a little while ago, I remember Tainomi, I think Tainomi's just kind of like busy doing performances right now, but there was a period where we were kind of working on music for her, and she was like, I don't want to be a drag performer who sings. Like, I want to be just a good, I want to be looked at as just a singer. Like, who happens to also be a queen.
Totally.
And I was like, I love that. Because I think when people are like, oh, well, she's good for, like, a drag queen. Like, it takes away from the talent and the weight of someone. So I really love that, like, Pri has done the work. Pri has done a lot of vocal lessons. And, like, she's just a really amazing performer. Period.
Oh, 100%. I think there's that. I think we've evolved from your ka-ka-da-ka classic drag lines. And now it's you see like Priyanka, you see Pablo Vittar, like there are these bona fide musical acts, part of musical festivals.
Yeah.
I see it as really prolific and exciting. And back to your point about giving drag queens opportunities, you're part of that evolution, right? Because you're giving us a chance and it kind of pays off in the end. So exciting.
But waiting for a queen to hit the radio. Like, where's a queen
on
mainstream radio? Like, that's
Here's
what
the thing.
We're missing, you
Here's
know?
Here's the thing. It's it's happened. It's going to be there. We're about to boil over. Like, I swear, one of the girlies is just going to, it's going to pop off. But
I mean,
I want to get back to you. I want to get back to you, Ralph.
Okay.
Fuck the drag queens for a second. It's all about Ralph. It's all about Ralph. Speaking of earworms, Scary Hot is a goddamn bop.
Thank you. Listeners, I think so too. Why isn't it on the radio? I don't know.
Listeners, if you have not heard of Scary Hot yet, it will get in your ears the way. Did Gold Chain produce this?
Yes.
That beat right away, that like the dun 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 dun. Yeah. It just gets you hooked in the first second. I was singing that for a month. It was trapped in my head. I was like, I'm obsessed with Ralph.
Could not get out.
I just had to like keep singing it. When you create a song, is it like, okay, here we're going to go for an earworm. It's going to be X amount. Like, how do you formalize a pop song with such a hook? Is that organic or is that by design?
Bit of both. It really depends on the session. Like, it every session is different.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this day and age, like, you really do, especially within pop music and especially within a world that's like, you know, obsessed with, like, everyone wants like a 10 second hook, you know,
literally
because of like everyone's attention span is so minimal now with like TikTok. It's like, you want to have just like something that's going to quickly grab you. Mm-hmm. And, so it's interesting trying to like play into that, but also trying to like maintain the integrity of like songwriting and,
totally,
you know, making a whole song that just
songs are like 2 minutes now.
Well, this, I mean, Scary Hot is literally like,
it's 2:30, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. It's what? Well, okay. Research.
I'm obsessed. No, I'm literally, I'm not kidding.
It's really, it's like the shortest song I've ever put out. Like, it feels really short, but that wasn't like, that wasn't by design. That was just kind of like, we didn't feel like it needed more. It felt unnecessary. Yep. But I actually wrote that song with Devin Cole, who is a TikTok legend in Toronto these days. She's like this amazing young pop star from Calgary who had a viral TikTok blow up. And she's like one of the best young songwriters I know. She's so fucking smart. So I knew she was a Ralph fan. And then she like blew up and I was like, oh my God, she's not going to write with me now. But I asked her, she was like, oh my God, yes. So she was the one, to give her credit, she was the one who came up with the line Scary Hot, because me and her and Gold Chain were just like sitting and like yakety yakking. And she was like, what's happening in your life? Like, what are we going to write about today? And I was like, well, like, I want to write a song that just feels like hot and easy and fun. Like, it doesn't need to be weighted. It doesn't need to be overly emotional. I want it to just be like a fun, sexy song. And then I told her about making out with my girlfriend in a car in front of my parents' house and how we like kept like being like, okay, I gotta go. And then like continued to make out. And then we like actually drove to a parking lot. And yeah. And I was like, it was so like funny and just like a classic summer like hookup. And she was like, I love that. Okay. She was like, I'm gonna go pee. And when I come back, let's write that. And then she like went pee and then she came in and she like burst through the door and she was like, Scary Hot. Scary Hot. And I was like,
we love a pee break. The power of a pee break, honestly. Yes.
My number one songwriting tip is, if you need to take like a little like brain reset, go have a pee. And I swear to God, you'll come back with a great idea. So, but yeah, it just like Scary Hot was like one of, it just felt right while we were writing it. And it was just like easy and fun. And that's what I wanted this new EP to feel like. I wanted every song on the EP to be something that I felt proud of and that had like a good experience attached to it.
Oh, absolutely. I can feel it, Ralph. That song has me super excited. I'm working out to it. It's in the car. I'm playing. I'm not kidding. It's like, it is my favorite. And then I also saw recently on social, did you direct your very first music video to Pain Relief?
I did.
Because I feel like this EP is coming with, you know, these bops. And then now you're trying the visuals like on top of that. What was it like to not only control the sound of the song, but the visuals as well? And you edited. I didn't even, you're one-stop shop.
I edited the Scary Hot music video as well.
Oh, cool. With all the fighting?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Those are really well edited.
I edited it, and then there was a finisher editor who came in to like just kind of finish up, because it was a complicated video and it was my first time editing, and I had like a week to edit, and
that's a beast.
I was actually losing my mind. So we hired a professional to just help me get to the finish line, which is good, because I again, I'm very competitive with myself, but I had to be like, you know what? This is your first time editing a video. Girl, like, let someone step in and help you, because you have 100%. A lot to play right now.
100%. The power of collaboration. But tell me about Pain Relief, because this one was directing as well.
Yeah, it was. I had the friend, my friend Arden, who directed Scary Hot. She was going to direct Pain Relief as well, because we shot both of them in Los Angeles. And she got really busy and was like, I obviously am like totally down to do Pain Relief still. But she was like, you wrote the treatment. You have, it's all your visual idea. Like you know it so well, you know exactly what you want. I think she's like, I think you just need to do it yourself. Like, I think you just need to take the leap and actually do it. It's just fear that's getting in the way. And
totally.
And I was like, you're right. I think because I do have such a specific idea and that I want it to be, like, I don't want to put that pressure on someone else and have them not nail it or something. So I was like, okay, you're right. I'm going to do it. And yeah, I mean, I was really lucky in the sense that like I kept it pretty small, like the cast and crew. And I had, I hired
intimate.
A DP.
It felt intimate. Very,
it was, that's the perfect word for it, because it was intimate and extremely like loving and supportive. Mm-hmm. I think the key was hiring a DP Laura Lynn Petrick, she just understood. I knew she would nail it because I love her visuals, but I was like, I don't need to like micromanage you. And also like I'm on camera. So while I'm like directing, totally. I also need to know. And it was shot on film. So it's not like I can see.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't see what she could see, right? So it's you're putting a lot of faith into someone else's hands. But she was amazing. She was so great. And my friend Kathleen, whose apartment I'm staying in right now, she is an amazing director, actress, and has been on television and film and direct. She's like extremely talented and a wonderful human who knows me very well. So she was my assistant director. And especially with film, like I had 14 minutes of film total. So you can't be like, okay, just run it for a little bit and see what happens. It is like, okay, this shot is going to be 6 seconds. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're only going to do it once or twice.
Cut the film.
Yeah. So Kathleen was literally like on her phone being like, okay. And like, especially when I was on camera, she was calling, you know, cut. She'd be like, okay, and go and cut and move on. Like it was high stakes in the sense that like, if like as the editor, I was like, you know, I'm curious to see, to get it all back. And just also I was flying with a bunch of film, which was really scary because like
that can mess with it, right?
Yeah. When I was going through security, I was like, this is film. It can't go through. The monitor is like, it was a lot of like pressure, to just, you know, make sure that I could deliver everything and that it looked exactly how I wanted it to.
Because I was going to ask, because I've done a music video now, to switch over to directing a video, I would think, like, do you switch hats and then look at the playbacks and look at the monitor? But by virtue of film, you almost didn't get to.
No, you didn't. I did not get to.
Oh, but interesting. Stressful.
You do switch hats for sure.
Of course.
But yeah, it's interesting. But I think because I have always been the creative director of my, you know, of Ralph, and I'm so like for like my album shoot for all of the visuals, like I had three people that I worked with, my stylist, my photographer, and my makeup artist, and that was it. And I had come in being like, here's what I want to do, and here's like the vision, and here's the Pinterest board that I've made. So I feel like I've always been someone who knows exactly what I want. So even within music video, I only collaborate with people who are willing to fully, like, I don't want to work with directors who don't want to listen to me, because I doubt that it would be something like that I would love as much as what I do when it's really like a collaborative piece. So it felt like switching hats, but I was also kind of like, oh, I've been kind of doing this for a long time.
You've been doing it.
You know? Yeah. But it's, I think when you actually assume the role of director and everyone's like looking at you and they're like, so what are we and what? And I was also producing it as well. So it was a lot of moving parts. But again, like so much credit and kudos has to go to the people who were in the cast and crew in my intimate little group. And then like when the sun went down and we like couldn't shoot anymore, we literally went like swimming in the ocean naked together. And then we like went back to the house that we were using as our like landing ground. And we had like wine around a bonfire and just like, it was so celebratory and like calm. And it just felt like a really positive experience for my first time directing.
Totally. I could feel that energy. I could feel that energy from the video. Like just the whole time, it seems like this, I don't know where you are in this world, but like a family of like women and in a field. And I love it.
That's exactly what I wanted.
And shout out to the coloring of this music video. Did you have any? Okay. Because it looked like a Wes Anderson film. Like it literally had this like these beautiful hues. I love when shadows almost have like a lift to them. It had, and I'm not surprised because it's you shot on film. That's how you're getting all these like richness and in imagery. It was so beautiful. Just really well done.
Was really, really spectacular because there was a lot of stuff that was too dark. And I was like, no, we need it. Like, we have to have it. And she was like,
bump it up.
Well, and then she was like, what if we added in some like intentional like glitches to make it kind of like we embrace the filminess of it for the shadowed moments. And it was for when I was looking for colorists, I also it was really important for me to find someone who was like non-male and ideally queer. And I found a queer female. And I was like, every single person who worked on that video was a female. And there was like a really large community of queer women on the video as well.
Iconic.
So that was just really great for me.
Oh, that's so special. Mm-hmm. Ugh, and this makes me think the visual, the clothing, it's time to talk about your style. Because not only is it curated, but it's joyful. I feel like when I see these outfits that you wear, it literally looks like you're having a blast and also looking very chic. Not to like minimize it. You found this sweet spot between like cool girl Chloe Sevigny energy.
Oh, love that.
But then it's sparking joy at the same time. Without putting words in your mouth, how would you describe your personal
I'm
style?
I'm literally going to put that in my Instagram bio. I love that.
Please do.
Like I move forward just using that as my my defining words. But I mean, I think like it's so interesting to hear what like how my fashion is like absorbed and conveyed by other people. Like it's so nice to hear you say that because to me, fashion is fun. And it's such a huge part of me and of my joy. Like I love putting together outfits, even if I'm not going anywhere. Like I had a really cute outfit yesterday when I went to the coffee shop by myself. And I was like, I love this. This is cute. No one's going to see it. You know, like, I mean, whatever, the like strangers around me saw it and hopefully clocked it. but I think like, to me, I just think like because of what I do and because of, and you like when you're on stage and you're performing for people, like I want people to feel inspired and I want them to feel like joyful. And I think like fashion to me is just another expression. It's just another way of expressing yourself. And I know for some people, like it's so interesting to me when I meet people who are like, I don't know. I just like put on a t-shirt and pants. And I'm like, okay.
You could make it so much bigger and thoughtful.
But it's just not how their brain works. Like, they're like, I don't know, style. Like, and that's okay. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, I always want to work with those people and be like, let's find a way to really kick it up.
But what kind of t-shirt? What kind of, like, you know, and
what
then all
do
of a
sudden.
You
feel your best in? Because as someone who loves a makeover show, I do. And the thing is, it's so funny. I think people like don't give makeover shows enough credit, but like it's wild when you see someone, as someone who worked in retail for many years, when someone comes in and they're looking for an outfit and you help them find something that they feel good in, they transform when they come out of that change room.
There's an energetic shift.
Yes, they feel like there's nothing pleases me more. And this is why I actually loved working retail. Nothing pleases me more than helping someone feel good about themselves or helping them realize like, oh my God, I would never have tried that silhouette on and I'm loving what it's doing and I'm going to continue to work within that world. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like,
oh, I do.
So yeah, exactly. Of course you do. And I,
of course, the power of putting something on all of a sudden, like I find for me, it's like something like a boned or corseted piece where it literally can change your stature, the way you stand. I feel powerful. Like I almost, it's that classic, I'm putting on the superhero cape in a way.
Totally.
I wonder, totally. I was prepping for this interview and I was thinking about your style. Do you have a distinction between on stage and off stage? Or for you, is it all a blended cocktail? Because I kind of, I almost couldn't tell. I feel like at all times mm-hmm. you're just so self-expressive. But I yeah. wonder, is there parts of the closet reserved for stage?
Like, there is, in the sense that, like, I have things in my closet that are, like, Ralph archival pieces.
Okay, cool.
But I would wear them tomorrow as Rafa, too. So, like they're all, like, I remember when I toured with Carly Rae Jepsen, like, she would put on her Carly outfit to go on stage and then yeah. was a much more, like, casual dresser off stage. I think she also tours so much that she's like, oh, my God, give me, like, my leggings and my sweatshirt and, you know, I just want to be chill. And yeah. whereas I think with me, the stuff that I wear as Ralph, I, like, buy it to also wear as Rafa.
Okay, cool.
So for the most part, although I don't like wearing the same thing twice on stage ever.
I've noticed so, this about you. That's so cool. It's always mm-hmm. fresh.
Yeah, which I think is, like, a lot of people – someone recently was like, oh, well, you come from money, right? And I was like, oh, God, no. I'm so deeply in debt, sweetheart.
Exactly.
And I worked part-time jobs my entire yep. life. I've been babysitting yep. since I was 10. But I
– Love a hustle. It's just a part love of, a hustling queen. Right?
Well, it's just, like – it's a part yeah. of it. For me, it's a part of who I am as a performer. It's a part of, like, my whole thing. So yeah. I just think that now my audience expects, like, a whole new Ralph outfit. So touring is always, like, whoo, it's a lot because I am, like, compiling and now I'm sort of, yeah. like, making things more.
Cool.
Because I just love the idea. I mean, obviously, you can, like, attest to this, too, with drag, yeah. like, having things that no one else can have and, like, using your brain to be, like, okay, I can, like, think, like, this would be so cool. I can't find it. What if I just kind of try to make it? You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, I just, like, you know when you see someone on stage who's wearing something and you're like, that is, wow. Like, I'm mm-hmm. just, like, I it's so fun to be that person.
Absolutely. No, because so, yeah, as I was prepping, I was wondering, so for you, is there an alter ego? Like, for me, like, I have a distinction between Daniel and Cynthia. Mm-hmm. It is a very literally different wardrobe. It's yeah. a storing yeah, nightmare. True.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Everything's imagine. Exploding from the seams at my place. But for you, it's blended. Like, you get to just yeah. kind of dip into both at all times. I think there's a power in that. I love that. So for at all times, it's like whatever piece, it could be performed in front of thousands of people or it could go down the street for a coffee.
And I think, like, I'll always, like, I have this amazing green fur, like, Mongolian fur jacket that I got on the Essence sale. And
I love an Essence sale.
I love and I hate an Essence sale, baby. But I'm going to wear it tonight on stage for, like, as long as I can. And then once it's, like, now, like, once it gets debuted on stage, then I can yes. wear it as Rafa. I can't I do see. It the other way around. Like, I can't
that makes
wear,
complete
like,
sense.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think once it's been debuted as Ralph, then it's okay. Or I resell it and I make some money off of it and then I move on to get another thing. Like, I don't always keep my
Come
Ralph
on,
stuff.
Come on, Depop.
Exactly. Literally. Like, consignment queen over here.
Oh, you've got to.
But
do you work with a stylist for these pieces? Like, is it a team or are you a team of one? Like, how are we pulling these pieces at all times?
I am a team of one. I work with, yeah. Well, I did styling. I wanted to be a stylist for a while and I did styling for other people. And it was really fun. And again, like, I worked retail for many, many, many years and merchandising as well. So I think there's a part of my brain that just, like, I love styling, but there are moments where usually when it's like when I'm like trying to compile things last minute for tour and I'm mm-hmm. trying on things or like for music videos when I'm like trying on things, I actually like hit a wall where I'm like, I don't know what looks good anymore. I don't even know what yeah. I like anymore. It just feels like yes. fabric. I feel like I'm just putting totally. On fabric over my body. Yep. And that's when I'm like, I wish I was rich and I had a stylist. But I do have a stylist who I trust with my goddamn life. And she actually flew down for 2 days only for the pain relief video. Her name is Carla Candela. Shout out Carla. A dear friend. She knows me inside out. She yep. like she literally, when she arrived in LA, she flew with all of these things that she'd pulled from Toronto.
Angel.
And like, she, like, I don't know how she did it. She brought them in a carry-on so that they like wouldn't get lost. Yeah. And she just like, when I saw what she'd brought for the pain relief video, and again, because the video was so aesthetic, it was so aesthetically important in my head. I was mm-hmm. like, the styling is such a huge part of it that like, I'm putting a lot of faith in Carla. And then when she like pulled out all of the things she brought, I was like, I could weep. This is amazing. You just nailed it. So anyways, when I'm in a pinch, like I could even text Carla and be like, hi, I'm yeah. losing my mind. Can I send you a bunch of tour outfit, like photo options? And you tell me what you think. Like I have stylists in my back pocket mm-hmm. who really get me. And that really saves my ass when I'm hitting a wall.
It's good to know. I think that's a healthy balance, right? Like you obviously are passionate about it. You have experience in it, but we all hit a wall. Like there are yeah. times where I'm just like, wait, is it like with my partner, he's really great at helping me fit garments. Like I might have started something and he can see it from like a 3D perspective. Cause sometimes you can't see yourself in the mirror.
You're like, is this weird in the back? I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. So he'll help get things to fit like an absolute glove. And then it becomes couture. Like at that point, then it's like triples
when
in
the details
value.
Are all in line. Yeah. That's when it's like, that's when it's the best, you know, when it doesn't look like you hot glued something together. Or
exactly. Like, and you still did. You still did. You just can't tell. You just cannot tell.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? Behind every fashion girly, there is a tired partner who is straightening the back of their hair and who is helping glue. You know what I mean? Like doing this. Like my partner is so helpful with all that stuff too.
The amount of glitter that's permanently in our pores because of me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Or like the bobby pins of mine that are like everywhere, like everywhere. Or like nails when I don't have like actual acrylics, like I'll like stick on nails and they'll just fly off, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my goodness. The stick-ons. What do you use to adhere the nail to your bed if you're doing the press-ons?
I have tried the like sticky pads because I'm like always trying to like save my real nails.
Nail health.
But let's be honest, like I've been on stage. I think I did one show where I my nails were so fucked. I was on tour and I had just like, they were so thin that they kept ripping. So I was like, okay, I have to just stick, like use the sticky pads. And I was on stage and like literally three nails just like flew off into the audience. And I was like, this is what I'm saying, like about like when something goes from like being like perfectly fitted in couture to being like janky, like did my makeup in the car. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden I was like, this Ralph performance, like this person, like I don't even know where that was. It might have been like Winnipeg. And I was like, I'm sorry, you guys are not getting the best version of Ralph right now. I'm tired.
I love those little nail tabs. And do you know what I do? I put those down. Yeah. And then
the glue on top of it. Okay. Wow. Yes.
And when I say glue, I'm not meaning your average nail glue. I mean Gorilla super glue
and then
they're on, because what you're doing, this the pad is protecting the natural, it's almost like a wig cap for your nail.
Oh my god, this is brilliant, and then
put the glue on that because I think you'd be happier with the grip because the nail glue isn't playing, it's on there, but then instead of destroying your natural nail bed, the pad just makes it a little easier to come off, and it actually extends the life of the nail. Because then that sticky thing, those peel off a little bit better. Yeah, I've been doing that. I find that helps.
Okay, that's really smart. Oh my God, I love tips and tricks.
Oh my God, we've got them all. We have got them all. Now, speaking of your tour, it is time to hit the road, my dear.
You're literally playing my first show in Los Angeles tonight.
Tonight, it's happening. Yeah. You're going to your warm-up soon. You're doing your sound check. I love this concept. Speaking of wearing something different every single night, you're actually prompting the audience with different wardrobe themes per show, correct? Tell me a little bit more.
Well, there's a young pop artist that I like named Chapel Roan, and she is someone who writes really good pop music. I think she's also just, I'm very drawn to like artists who are authentically themselves. Mm-hmm. I think there's like kind of been a shift and there's like a movement of all these young artists who are just writing these like really interesting songs that are like super autobiographical and smart And I'm very drawn to people who just kind of like generate this like honesty in their stage presence, their outfits, the way that they conduct themselves, even on social media. But anyway, so she has a very queer audience and is actually on her next tour, I think. I just saw this, having like drag performers as her openers across the board, which is very cool.
Slate.
And she has a really fun like stage like aesthetic as well. But she was doing dress up themes on tour. And I was like, I already like when people come to a Ralph show, they're already so like fashion focused and they're always like, oh my God, queen, what are we wearing? Like, so I was like, people are already dressing up. Also, like I went to a Beyonce concert and like literally everyone and their grandmas were like dressed to the nines.
It's so,
I was
so
like,
fun. I think,
exactly. I think like if you ask people to do it and you encourage them to actually like kick it up a little bit.
Totally.
And imagine like we were all on the same page with a theme. Like I was like, I'm just loving that. So absolutely. I just thought, you know what? I think also when you're an independent artist and you are trying to like, you know, you're trying to like maintain your career and make sure that people keep coming back to the shows. It's nice to feel like every tour there's something new. And with this tour, like I think that there's tour grant funding that got cut, unfortunately, in Canada. Mm. So with this tour, I kind of felt like, oh no, like, okay, I actually can't like, I can't make it like on a money level. I can't really add anything to like, I don't have stage design. You know, we don't travel with a lighting person. What can I do to make this tour still feel elevated and interesting? And I was like, okay, well then let's focus on, you know, the audience and me and just give people something to look forward to in like the world of like fashion. And so the
That's theme so cool.
tonight is, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Love.
So I have a fun outfit, and which involves the green fur jacket.
Yes, naturally.
And I'm excited to see what people do. It's funny too, because I feel like in LA, like I feel like people are like super cool, and I'm, you know, like I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, there's a theme, like, oh God, like what am I gonna wear? Whereas I have a lot of like other fans who are like so excited. So I'm curious to see who's like too cool to do a dress up and who like really does it. But there's prizes.
Don't let LA scare you. I feel like they're going to be the most like attitude-y about it. But I just hear prizes? There's actually prizes for best outfit.
There is going to be a prize at every show for the best outfit, because I want to encourage people and also like, you know, like give snaps to the people who actually like put a lot of effort, you know.
Oh, totally. Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm coming. This has to happen. This is like, yes, I already was going coming. To, but this is like, this sounds so fun. Now we are at the end of our interview, but we love to do a little rapid fire speed round. Ralph, oh, are you down? Are you down?
I am. I'm so bad at this stuff. My brain like rapid
Don't
fire.
You worry. It's okay, A or B. Okay. It's A or B. Okay. So oh, it's not, great. it's not stress on you.
Okay.
So stilettos or platform wedges?
Platform wedges. Back issues.
Totally. Preach. Yeah. Fringe or sequin?
Sequin.
Vintage or designer?
Oh.
Like a vintage, really good vintage
Vintage
piece.
Designer.
No. Okay, yeah, I guess. Okay, you got a loophole, you clever little duck. Yeah. Iced coffee or pumpkin spice latte?
I don't like iced coffee, so I guess we're going pumpkin spice latte hot.
She's a PSL girly. Yeah. Singing a full evening of Celine Dion or Adele music?
Celine. My karaoke song.
Oh, which one?
The wind was so cold. That one.
SQ Cuties, listen to this voice. Oh my goodness. Okay, ramen or spaghetti?
Ramen.
Love it. Bangs or chunky highlights?
Oof. I think bangs.
Fun. Yeah. Oh my
You're
goodness.
Talking Have to a fearless hair girl who during the pandemic cut my own bangs, and my hairdresser said, no, don't. And I said, I'm doing it. And I kept going shorter and shorter because they were uneven. And my hairdresser kept going, please, please, for the love of God, Raph, stop. And then I finally stopped.
The tiniest little bangs. Okay. Slay. Yeah. And then last but not least, an early morning flight or a red eye?
A red eye, but you're also talking to a girl who takes 2 Ativans and sleeps no matter what. So yeah, exactly. Eye mask, sound canceling headphones, Ativan, do not talk to me. Yeah.
Do you travel well? It helps if you tour.
I travel well on planes, but I cannot sleep in a car for the life of me.
Too bumpy?
No, it's more like I'm nervous about the driver falling asleep. So I'm always awake to make sure that they know that I'm awake. I literally can't sleep even if I tried. Like even if I was like running on 2 hours, I can't sleep. I'm always awake. So I just watch a ton of shows and listen to podcasts and do crosswords if I can. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I have to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It was literally so fun.
Please, please promote. Where can the SQ Cuties find Ralph information? What links to the tour? Give them promo. Shamelessly promote.
Easy, because it's all kind of the same phrase. Songs by Ralph on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube. Songsbyralph.com is where you can buy your merch, and you can get tour tickets on songsbyralph.com. Tour starts in LA tonight. It's a little tour run, so there's only a couple cities. So it's LA, Seattle, Vancouver, New York, Montreal, and Toronto. So if you are in one of those cities or nearby, grab your tickets. What I can say to you is that I am a confident, it's not ego, it's confidence in the sense of like, I know a Ralph show is very fun, and I work really hard to create a space that feels joyful and safe and fashion forward. And I think like as an independent artist, it is sometimes hard to get people to the shows when you're not on the radio or you're not viral. And I feel sad because I think there's a lot of people out there who would really, really appreciate a Ralph show and would appreciate the audience. So
100%.
I am constantly trying to get the word out there for the survival of my career, but also because I really do feel strongly that like it's important to go to a space like that, and because it just makes you feel good, you know?
No, exactly. I left your last concert in one of the best moods. You just, the authenticity you're talking about and the joy, and on top of that, your beautiful singing voice. Like I'm telling you, you sound auto-tuned.
That's so nice.
It's such a fun evening, SQ Cuties. If you're in any of those cities or nearby, get yourself some Ralph tickets, because it's going to be fabulous. And dress to the nines.
Yes, and I have, in every sitter, I hand selected an opener, and they're all amazing. And I'm really excited for people to see them as well. So just support your indies, but also support yourself, because it's a great time. I promise. I'll refund you your ticket if you have a bad time.
That will never happen.
Yeah, but don't lie to me, because I need that money.
Exactly. Well, Ralph, thank you again for coming on Semi-Qualified Queens. I'm going to catch you in Vancouver.
I was going to say, you're absolutely going to come to the show. I'm going to give you
100.
A ton of guest lists. You can bring your
What's house. The theme? What's the theme for Vancouver's show?
Vancouver is Ray of Light.
So oh my God.
You can think like either like think Madonna Ray of Light, or think more like reflective, metallic, light up, glow in the dark, like get creative, you know?
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. My brain is already coming up with ideas. Yeah. I am so excited. Well, Ralph, you've got a sound check. You're a professional girly pop. Yeah. I'm wishing you the best of luck with this tour. I cannot wait to watch and then see you in person in Vancouver.
It's going to be fun. Thank you so much for having me. I loved this. This was great. This is like the little pump up chat that I needed to get.
Hell yes. Tonight. I love you. You are great.
Wow. What a fabulous interview that I 100% listen to right now.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I took the time to research. I thought it went really
so well. I will say I looked in the Discord at your questions and they were very detailed.
Yes.
Very well researched and very, very good. You were giving me very Katie Couric.
I'm telling you, I was a VJ. I like did the homework.
Which VJ?
Oh, I mean like a nerdy one who like you just like it's let's say it's the respectful kind of gal on the cast that you know you're proud of your project and you want to be asked intellectual questions. I thought I really elevated the podcast. It was fabulous. Fully qualified. It felt like a fully qualified.
I love
interview.
That. I have VJ gossip for you after this, by the way.
Oh, I need it. Please. No,
I'm so sorry, semi-qualified SQ Cuties. I'm so sorry I said that, but yeah, I have gossip for you.
Ooh, maybe one
day.
And
I already know Anthony's going to text me being like, can I know the gossip?
Well, maybe we can get them on the podcast sometime if they want to talk about it themselves.
Maybe.
But for now, you got to just follow us on socials, on Instagram at semi-qualified queens pod, at Twitter at SQQPOD using the hashtag semi-qualified questions, or shoot us an email at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
And we haven't heard your beautiful voices in so long because we don't do these weekly now. We do them in chunks. So we haven't been able to get any voice notes. So if you want to send us a voice note and we want to hear your lovely little voices, if you want to just tell us how beautiful we are, if you want to say like, hey, why don't you have such, such and such on the pod, you horrible people, we want to hear it. So go to speakpipe.com/SQQpod. That's speakpipe.com/SQQpod.
Woo! We'll see you next week.
Where we will be. Can we say who we're interviewing next week?
Absolutely. And you're going to be there.
And I'm going to be there because I am here right now. So we are interviewing Queen Kong next week. And I feel like Queen Kong has a lot of very big similarities to some of our Canadian queens. So I'm very excited to be able to talk to them.
Oh, I cannot wait. That's next week, though, SQ Cuties. So hang on until then.
Bye.
Bye.
It's very dark in here.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
I'm gonna turn on a fucking light. One sec.
No problem.